You're listening to Show Me Your Mic, a show that interviews other podcasters about their workflows, gear, and thoughts on podcasting. Your host is Chris Enns, a podcaster who's hoping to learn more about the craft by talking to fellow broadcasters.
Yes, hello, welcome to Show Me Your Mic. I'm Chris Enns, and this episode I'm joined by Jory Raphael, a designer, illustrator, who specializes in the clean and usable, as according to his bio. He's done artwork for most notably, I guess, for podcast folks, for 5x5, Dan Benjamin. He's also the creator of the custom-crafted icons at Symbolicons. We'll talk a bit about all of that. It's a bit of a unique episode in that Jory isn't exactly a traditional, he's not a podcaster, but he is somebody who lives and works in the podcasting world, and so just from a visual design, artwork kind of perspective, I thought it'd be fun to have him on. So, Jory, are you still there? Hopefully you haven't.
I am still here.
Lost you to the Skype monsters.
Nope.
And how are you doing today?
I am doing well. Yeah, so far so good.
This is, you've done a few interviews with some other folks. I know I'll put some links. There's the Happy Monday podcast that you did. I don't know how recently that was. I didn't see the date. Oh, May, back in May. And yeah. And then also over on Tim Smith's show, The East Wing, you had done that as well. So
yeah, I've been on a couple episodes, I think, of the old Daily Edition at 5x5. And then
I
think Dan roped me into a frequency once or twice, kind of at the last minute. Yeah. So not sure it was any of my best work, but...
You're sort of on call, as it were, I guess, with 5x5.
Yeah. Dan will just last minute text me sometimes and say, "Hey, you free to chat?" I'll be like, "Okay," and I'll take my phone or computer and go and sit in a hallway somewhere.
Yes, and this is your full time gig, right? Designing, your drawing, illustrating at Sensible World, which is your business, and that's your full-time work from home kind of gig, or you work out of an office?
Yeah, Sensible World's my full-time design business studio, whatever you want to call it. And I have a home office that I'm here where I am right now, usually about 2 days a week, and then I actually work from a nice co-working space about 35, 40 minutes away in Burlington, Vermont, the other days of the week. Which is nice to have an office to go to and be kind of surrounded by other creative folks. It's called Study Hall Collective. So that I kind of get the best of both worlds, where I can kind of be at home, quiet, and focus on things, and then have coworkers who, for the most part, aren't working with me on projects, although I do some collaboration with them as well.
Nice. That's actually quite similar to what I do. I work from home Tuesday, Thursdays when I do podcasting, and then Monday, Wednesday, Friday work out of an office, and I need to get into the co-working space. It's a more of a traditional office, and so it's not quite as inspiring to be around people talking.
It's a blessing and a curse. It has the best of both worlds, because I love it. One of the projects I'm working on there is called Notably, which I don't know if we'll talk about or not, but it's a app for parents to kind of keep track of the moments in their kids' lives. With my buddy Jackson Latka. And so we both work out of Study Hall. And so that's nice for the collaboration. And then there's always awesome stuff going on, but then it sometimes runs the risk of, going on tangents. And it's right in the heart of Burlington. So, lunch breaks tend to be a little bit longer than they might need to be. Or, it's the best kind of distraction to have. But every now and then I need to kind of strip that away so I can really, really focus on some things.
Yeah. Well, actually, let's talk about Notably right away, because when we were emailed, we talked about that, but I was doing research, then I'd forgotten actually to make a note of that, because it was just, I was focusing more podcast-y stuff. But yeah. Why don't we give the sort of elevator pitch, as it were, whatever, for your app. This is your first sort of go around with an app as your own thing?
Yeah. I've helped design a couple others, but this is kind of the first one that I would call my own. Certainly in partnership and in collaboration with Jackson and some other folks. And it notably it's a simple way for parents to share and tell the story of their kids' lives. So think photos and videos, and one of my favorite features is the quotes. little audio moments, and then also the kind of a more traditional blog type post that we call notes. So kind of a contained private network to share these moments and keep track of them, and then share them with the people you care about in your life. So my wife and I both can post to our kids, and they have their own little streams, and then share it to her family who lives in Seattle. So they get the kind of the constant update about what's going on in the kids' lives and how they're growing. And it's been fantastic kind of keeping everyone in the loop, and offers, I mean, you can share out to Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And we certainly do that as well, but, and Facebook's great for a feedback loop with some of your friends and family, but it doesn't have the permanency really of a single place where all your kids' moments are. So I kind of use a little anecdote where if, you know, my Facebook account were to be deleted tomorrow, which, you know, I thought about on a few occasions, but, you know, if that were to happen out of my control, if that were to happen, and if my computer with all of my photos on it were to, you know, crash and burn, and none of my backups there were to be around, that notably, really, it has the most important content to me, which is, you know, my kids, the photos of my kids and they're growing up. And it's the, I don't know if I'd call it a baby book, but it kind of is filling that need. Mm-hmm. And it's, you know, none of us, Jackson certainly and myself, we kind of, you know, have the best, we tried to create those baby books when our kids were young. And he was a little bit more successful with his first son doing a daily photo project. But it kind of, you know, as you know, being parents takes a lot of time, and sometimes those best intentions of recording and you know, starting a baby book fall by the wayside because everything else gets in the way. And this is, Notably is just a great way to do it quickly when a moment happens. I post it right to Notably from my phone. And we are actually launching a web app fairly soon so that people without iPhones can also use the app.
Oh, nice. So it's kind of like a bit of a cross between the sort of Tumblr interface style of, you know, just quickly posting a thing like a status update, a photo, a video, mixed with a bit of Path. And because that's something that my family has been, my extended family, we've been sort of struggling with is, you know, how to share this stuff. We've been using Path, but it's kind of crashy on some app or some devices and things like that. And the videos don't always play. And then we were toying with Google Plus because you could sort of develop a little circle there and share some videos, but then you never know what Google's going to do with the data that you're sharing.
Yeah. So yeah, it's kind of an amalgamation of a bunch of those. Mm-hmm. But kind of the key portion of it is that it's about your kids. So, you know, I'd been using Path too and Facebook and stuff, but you still to tell my mom or my dad who, you know, aren't part of these other social networks or kind of aren't up on the hottest new app, to convince them to create an account to follow me on Path or something like that is a little bit of a tougher sell. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they're very much, you know, for better or for worse, a lot of those social networks, most social networks are really at some level ego driven. So when I'm posting something to Facebook, I'm posting it. It's still me. And so I kind of put the thought into like, oh, is this how I'm representing myself online? Et cetera, et cetera. Whereas with Notably, I'm posting for my kids. It's just my kids. I'm posting for my daughter and my son, and my wife is also posting to their accounts as well. So it's really about, you know, I get to take, I'm certainly proud of them, and there is a lot of ego involved in sharing your kids' moments, but, you know, it's not necessarily about me. It's more about them. So telling my mom and telling my wife's father, et cetera, that, you know, this is the place to see your grandkids is a lot, it's a lot easier to kind of show them the value of that than connecting with them on another network.
Right. Yeah. And is there like we joked before, and we'll turn this into an accidental parenting podcast again, like yeah. Merlin did in the last episode, but is there an ability for then say the grandparents to add to that same, I don't know what you call it, a feed or whatever, but like for your son, let's
yeah.
say.
Yeah. Yeah. So in the current app, no, but it is certainly a feature that we're working on.
Right.
And it's kind of we're slowly and we have limited time and we both have day jobs. You know, it's a labor of love and we're working as hard as we can and kind of adding more and more features as we go along. So like I won't go into it, but we have, you know, huge and wonderful plans for this service that will make it so much nicer than it is right now. But and that's one of the features that we certainly have discussed and really want to add is kind of more of a collaborator feature as well.
Yeah, because that's almost within families anyways. It's I'm sure single folks or kids without people without kids probably don't really care too much, but within families and stuff, that's almost the holy grail of like. Grandparents have photos of the kids now on their iPhone somewhere, and this other person has photos in their iPhoto library, and it'd be nice to be able to get some of them. You don't want all of them, but you want like just a few of the best ones and to sort of share. And Apple's chasing that a bit with iCloud, but it's hokey and not great yet. We'll see with iOS 7, I guess. Anyways, that's a whole nother podcast, a whole nother discussion. But what's neat, I guess, is that from a design perspective, you're getting to, has it been frustrating or fun to sort of not have, and you have your partner you're collaborating with on it, but you're not reporting to a client per se. And so I've found anyways, I know in doing web work and stuff, it's liberating at first to have your own thing and just be like, I can just do whatever I want and don't have to answer to anybody in a sense. But then at the same time, it's like, crap, I can do anything and there's nobody to sort of rein me in sometimes. So how have you found from a design perspective and the parts that you're working on, I guess, to not sort of have to answer to somebody?
Well, so for Notably, I could design anything I want for it, but because it's not just me and because there's the partnership there that we, you know, bang ideas off of each other. And it's kind of been a pretty fun collaborative process where one of us will design a screen and then hand it off and the other person will tweak it and then we'll kind of go back and forth a few times. So, you know, I say that I designed Notably, that's not strictly true because, you know, Jackson did too. And I couldn't, there may be a few pieces of the app that I could point to say, well, that's all me, but really every piece of it has had more than one set of hands on it. So there's kind of that restriction too, where it is, we have complementary kind of styles and enjoy, you know, similar kind of looks and feels for things, but we don't have the same. So finding that balance and kind of, you know, merging the two styles and the two opinions has helped form the app.
Yeah, and I think that there's sort of a parallel there or a segue, I guess, back into podcasting with that is so often I think podcasters tend to be solo. And don't, you know, they might have interview guests like you, but it's, you don't have any long-term investment obviously in what SSKTN does or doesn't do. And so that idea, I think of bringing people along, which I've found great joy in doing on other shows where I have folks like Tim Smith that you run his show on East Wing, but, like him and Adam Clark and other folks who I've done podcasts with, where it's collaboratively building something together, not so much the solo, guy sitting in your basement, which I mean I am, but but sitting by yourself and building this thing, it's nice to have someone else to work with, bounce ideas off of, collaborate with, and together build an even better thing, I think, than you would on your own. So
right, and there's someone to be accountable to as well.
Mm-hmm. Exactly, like why haven't you published that episode you were supposed to?
Right.
So I guess moving towards podcasting now. Yeah. At minute 15, hopefully you've you're still with us because and weren't true turned off by parenting discussions and things, but I think what your app is driving at is really neat, and I think I wish you much success in that.
Well, thank you.
But yeah, the main reason why I wanted to have you on here was to discuss podcast artwork and design, and where I became familiar with you is probably where a lot of people did through 5x5, and I know on the Happy Monday podcast you sort of talked a bit about how you connected with Dan, just happened to be through Twitter. He'd put out a call or something to that effect of looking for designers, and you responded quite quickly and sent him some stuff, or maybe it was vice versa. But
no, that was kind of. That's a little. That's yeah. So
you can correct me if I'm wrong, because I listened to it just a couple hours ago, and then I was dealing with kids.
You are completely and totally wrong. I had.
Let me just play back the tape. No.
Where'd I start? Okay, so I designed, I have a icon sets that I sell at symbolicons.com. And sorry for the plug. But when I first created them, when I designed the initial set and I decided that I wanted to sell them to other designers and developers, I created the website and I'd put them up for sale. And I reached out and sent emails to, you know, a bunch of different designers and developers and people kind of in this space who I admired and, you know, kind of completely selfishly was hoping that maybe, you know, someone would talk about it who had a little bit more reach and a little bit more influence than I did. Dan was one of the people who I'd been following for a long time on Hive Logic. And when he initially started 5x5, there were a few shows on the network at that point, and I'd listened to those. And so I'd sent him an email, you know, with a link to Symbolicons and you know, mentioning that I'd love if he could chat about them in any of his shows. And there was a show back then called The Dev Show, which was kind of a link-based show where they talked about what was going on the internet and kind of newest things. And they mentioned it, and then that was great and fantastic. And then probably about a week or so later, Dan got in touch with me and asked if I had ever designed any podcast artwork. And I said no. But I'd love to. Or I think I said not yet.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
Not yet, yes.
To quote you from Happy Monday, anyways.
That's my little sound bite, and I completely ruined it and got it wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And the rest is history. I started designing the artwork for him and kind of redesigned some of the initial artwork that he had done in the new style that we created. And since then, we've done a ton of them, and I just actually finished up a new one today and posted it. So,
yeah, I saw that was the Pen Addict, right? Just
yep, yep. The one you're... So that was one of the 70 decibel shows that are now under the 5x5 umbrella. So that was a redesigning some existing artwork to kind of keep its original flavor and style, but make it feel like it was part of 5x5. So.
Yeah, and that's actually, we'll jump around because that's something I was going to ask you about, is just from a designer's perspective, like traditionally or up until that point, you'd been just taking, I guess there was a few shows with Dan where you'd sort of rework them into the new style that you'd done. Mm-hmm. But taking artwork that, I don't know whether Mike had done them all or what Mike had done exactly. I'm actually having him on the next episode, coincidentally enough.
All right.
So I can ask him then, I guess. But
you guys are just going to talk about me the whole time.
Yeah, exactly. It's the follow-up complain about Jory show. No.
Complain. Okay, yeah, good. Exactly. That should be a good one.
But yeah, taking his artwork that he had done or he had outsourced, I don't know, again, wherever it came from, and sort of reworking it and keeping the flavor, because that, I won't pretend to quote all the shows right now, but I know the Pen Addict, Bionic was another one. There's just too many shows on 5x5 now.
That are ones that were...
that were with 70 decibels before. I'm trying to think of any others that made the transition.
So Mics on Mics, which is my... That's, I haven't done that one yet. That's next on my plate to redesign that one. I'm kind of looking at them right now. he'll be the better. Command Space.
Right, yeah. That's... Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, those are... The thing about that, it's kind of... It's interesting because I feel like... In some ways, that type of work is easier. In some ways, it's harder. It's easier because I don't have to think of the initial – I don't have to come up with the initial creative work. So, I run the risk of when I'm designing new artwork for 5x5 of repeating myself in some way, shape, or form. And I do to some extent on some of the work, and that's part of – I think part of the style certainly. But each show needs to have its own identity and kind of be recognizable as its own thing, as well as being a part of the 5x5 brand and have that the kind of the 3D look and feel that we're currently using. But kind of the 3D part is kind of easy once I've thought through the idea, but choosing the right typeface and deciding if I'm going to use an icon or what kind of background image or effect we're going to use, that exploration is often what takes the longest. And then we're deciding what angle it's at, if it's coming up from the left or the right, et cetera. With the artwork for shows that came from 70 decibels and similar, kind of that initial creative work is done. And then it's just, how do I take that artwork and interpret it in a 5x5 style without, you know, alienating people who were used to it? So that if someone, it's kind of this weird thing where, you know, a lot of people say that they, if they see a piece of show art for a podcast, and it, you know, it didn't have the 5x5 little logo band at the bottom, they'd be able to recognize that it was a 5x5 show because of the style. And I want that, but at the same time, for something like The Pen Addict, I also want all the listeners who, you know, have been listening to it up to this point, when suddenly the artwork switches in their podcast reader, to not be completely, you know, lost, so that they can still recognize, and the colors are the same, and, you know, at least the typefaces, if they're not exactly the same, they have the same flavor. So that's kind of, that's the tricky part of that. But it's, you know, both are certainly fun.
Yeah. And I I'm looking at the before and after sort of right now on 70decibels.com, and then on 5x5 with The Pen Addict in particular. And I like what you did. You carry the flavor of it, but it's kind of like a nice rebranding that looks modern, fits the 5x5 aesthetic, obviously, and theme and style. And then, but yeah, still retains enough of the old style, old look, that it's certainly familiar and not completely like foreign, like you said. So, and I think it's funny with podcasting, because it's even with the argument that people often say, like, you need to have it consistent and publish episodes every week, et cetera. I often think, like, well, really, for a lot of people, this isn't, I guess, a pushback against what you're saying, but just in general, it's kind of like, well, you subscribe to stuff, and if it's not coming, you're not going to really unsubscribe if the episode doesn't come next week. You might wonder where it is, and you go check the website, but you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort to subscribe and just maintain a podcast that you're not listening to. It doesn't add any space. It doesn't, you know, similarly here, you know, certainly you could make an artwork, I guess, that would be so offensive that somebody might be unsubscribed, but hopefully they wouldn't be so turned off just because the logo looks different and added, you know, they're so anti 3D, let's say, or something, that they're so turned off by it that they would leave. But yeah. That being said, the transitions that you've done have been awesome. I've loved the Command Space one. I actually really like, and you had mentioned, this isn't a 70 Decibels show, but The Prompt is the new show that Mike and Steven and Federico are doing. And yeah, you had mentioned that artwork was kind of your most recent, and not your most recent, but your favorite of your recent work anyways.
Yeah. So that was, that one didn't take me very long to do, but it took me a little bit to kind of come up with a concept for it. But, in some ways, The Prompt is kind of the next generation of the 512 podcast.
Right.
And so, you know, Mike kind of gave me the brief for it and basically said it's going to be a show about Apple, you know, really. And the I think the 512 podcast had kind of some pixelated Mac icon that they were using for their art. And so, but he said, you know, that's kind of where, that's our history, but it's a new show. It's got, you know, new hosts, and we want to kind of liven it up and freshen it up, but still be about Apple and about its history and everything you love. And so kind of going with the retro Apple rainbow color there, struck me after a little bit. One of the early drafts I was kind of playing with was doing the letters, kind of the three, having the letters each be 3D and having the colors come from each of the letters. But it wasn't quite getting the effect I wanted, because it was then, so just the going full rainbow in the background. Once I did that, it clicked, and then using Chicago as the typeface kind of just made sense to me as well. And it's a typeface I don't think I've actually ever used in a design, so it was fun to kind of harken back to the early days of the Mac OS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks great, and it definitely helps sort of set the tone, I think, for the show. In that, like I said, coming from listeners who are listening to 512, the 512 podcast, and transitioning, it's, you know, it does help set the tone, which I think is an important part of what deciding on artwork and picking artwork and designing artwork and all that kind of stuff is just as important a part of the podcast as deciding your topics and discussion and mics and all that kind of stuff, which is, again, is why you wanted to have you on here. What's the Great. Process been like as far as, and not that you have to spill dirt on Dan or Mike or whoever, but, you know, process of designing for somebody else, the artwork for somebody else, and how you can spill on Mike's. He'll be on next week. He can defend himself, I guess. I come to you, and I mean, I guess I can say I came to you with the idea of doing some artwork for shows and sort of exploring that option, and it's just not feasible right now. But that process of maybe advice for somebody coming to you or to someone like you for design for a podcast artwork, and what helps you do your job better, I guess, and what the process is like.
Well, I mean, you can't beat listening to the shows first, which is, you know, sometimes not possible if you're maybe doing things in the right order and and kind of getting all your ducks in a row prior to launching your first episode. So with 5x5, I kind of had the luxury of Dan had already been doing it for a little while and already had the shows up. So I had those to kind of fall back on. And, you know, the big web show art is very, very similar to what was initially around that I think Jeffrey Zeldman designed, that I just tweaked it just a little bit, added in the full, you know, kind of the more of the full background color, I think maybe flipped a couple things around, but, you know, it was very much the same art. And so it was kind of using that, saying like, okay, if I can take something simple and put it in this new style that I kind of, you know, the first show that I did for him, the first piece of artwork was for the Briefly Awesome. And the name of that show was initially what inspired the kind of the 3D style that I came up with, which was thinking of the term awesome and just like, you know, big letters and kind of coming in from, you know, often this big, had a picture of like big stone letters coming in. And then I, you know, was like, oh, wait, if I make this 3D, then that can be the linking piece to connect all the other art. And there were only at the time, I think, 3 or 4 different shows. So it seemed, you know, it had someone come to me with 30 different shows and said, we need these all to look similar, that would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But so I started small and then was kind of able to refine it from there as the new shows were added. Yeah, so I completely lost my train of thought.
Well, the idea of, so now someone, that was Dan's case, I guess. And so yeah. And we talked a bit about Mike and working with pre-existing artwork and changing that over. But say, so starting with a brand new show, podcast, and I come to you and say, like, I've got this show I'm doing with these couple other guys. It's, we don't have a name yet. We're kind of, we'll settle on that. And that's maybe too little of a brief, I guess, to give you. But let's say we do have a name, but, you know, this is the aesthetic we're kind of going for, is technology and whatever and stuff. What helps you, I guess, someone coming to you, what helps them do?
You know, it's interesting. I mean, the more information, the better. It's just like, it's like any design project, really, any creative brief. And I've been kind of particularly probably blessed with the 5x5 work and, you know, with the 70 decibel thing stuff as well, in that Dan has given me a tremendous amount of creative freedom. And there is, you know, very few pieces of art that are currently live on the site that aren't at least very similar to the first draft I presented him, for better or for worse. You know, most have been tweaked after kind of showing them him, but and colors have been changed or typefaces, et cetera. But for the most part, like, these are, he lets me run with it. And for 5x5, I think that at this point, I looked back and I've been doing artwork for him since 2010 now, so 3 years or so. And you know, we've only met once, but, you know, I am back and forth every, you know, once a week or so, or sometimes more often, sometimes less often, but, you know, for better or for worse, I'm kind of part of the team. So, and I think he trusts me with the look and feel of it. And I've done enough work for him that he lets me have fun, which is fantastic. And, Mike has been no help whatsoever, because he just, He pumps my ego up. Like, he's like, I'll show him something and he'll tell me how amazing it is, and I'm like, I kind of want more critique. But no, he's been great to work with too, and likes my style, and so kind of, I think he knows what they both know what they're getting when I'm coming in to do a piece of artwork for them, and they kind of certainly kind of know the direction that's going to go in, because it has to fit everything else as well.
Yeah, and it's
so. Yeah, so for a new piece of art for a different podcast network, or someone who's starting on their own, it's just like any creative brief. It's, you know, show me examples of things you like and what you don't like. What colors do you like? And, you know, what's the show about? What kind of feel are you trying to go for? And yeah, it's just kind of iterating off of that, I guess.
Yeah, and I should mention too, for folks who are maybe looking to looking for some design, I guess, ideas, and starting with an icon, let's say, even, or things sort of grab from, you're currently in the midst of the year of is the year of icons, is that what you're calling it? I can't remember.
Yeah.
I lost my my notes here somewhere, but and that's something they can find at sensibleworld.com, and I'll throw the link in the show notes, which you can find at sskTN.com. Yeah, I've been following along with the year of icons that you've been doing, and basically it's kind of like a neat way to even inspire something yourself that you might do as a basis, like, sorry, myself, not yourself necessarily, but a basis for a project. You know, if you've got just looking right now at number 186, a whale icon, right? Which, I mean, most people associate, or a lot of people associate with Twitter fail whale, maybe, or us older Twitter folks anyways, maybe do, but so maybe that's what you want or you don't want. But anyways, as a starting point, anyways, I'm rambling here, but of getting your sort of podcast or your idea off the ground, sort of some building blocks to start from, it's kind of a neat thing. And it's a little more traditionally for some of the web apps and websites and things like that, but there's no reason why something like that couldn't play a part in podcast artwork.
Yeah, it's actually the icons. So the year of icons is I've been designing and giving away an icon every day this year. And I have not designed today's yet, so I still have to do that. It's what you say, it's, you know, good for web stuff and good for podcasts. It's one of my favorite uses of my icons that I've done so far is my brother actually is a carpenter, a fantastic carpenter, and he woodenhammer.net if you guys need any cabinetry or anything. But he built this great little TV cabinet out of reclaimed lumber, and for the doors use these old glass paned windows. And then we took a couple of my icons, I think one for the TV, one for video, and one for audio. I think that was it, maybe one more, and had them printed in vinyl, and we put them on the windows. And then he used, there's a treatment you can do on the glass to frost it.
Right.
So he frosted over the vinyl, the whole piece of pane of glass, and then we peel the vinyl off. So it's kind of like looks like it's kind of been etched into the glass, the icons, and kind of seeing these things that I've been designing for websites in the real world and use that way is pretty fun. So it was one of my favorite uses.
Oh, nice. So I'm just searching here. Woodenhammer.net, did you say?
Wooden
hammer. Okay.
That's wooden hammer. Yes.
Nets. There you go. Cool. Yeah, we'll put a link in the show notes for that as well, of course.
What else can I pimp?
Go ahead. That's all good. Where was it going to go? Now I'm looking at amazing woodwork, which is
he's really good.
Hate it when people are like that, but it's good. It's good to have it in the family. That's for sure.
Yeah.
But going back to podcast artwork, looking at, you know, say, I don't know how often you would do this, and maybe it makes you cringe to look at it, but say you look at the iTunes podcast listings, either for ideas or listening to a new show or whatever, and we'll get into at the end of the show here, getting some your thoughts on shows that you do listen to. But looking at the podcast artwork, and what sort of, again, going back to someone who's starting out here in podcasting, what kind of things do you think make for a good artwork? And not just speaking, I guess, strictly with the, you know, the 5x5 aesthetic, obviously, which is, if you're doing a network of shows, it helps to have, like you've said, you know, a common theme so that people looking at it in the iTunes store, well, it's a familiar show and they can recognize it and subscribe because of that. But yeah, what kind of things do you think folks should be trying to do better at? What do you see that doesn't work? You can call out shows if you want. I don't care.
No. I won't call out shows. I think, I mean, in a lot of ways, you know, the podcast art is, you know, it's an album cover for starters, but then it's also a logo for the show in some ways. And, you know, there's art that I've seen that is just way too busy. There's too much going on, and they try and, or someone will put a lot of text in it, like descriptive text or, you know, tons and tons of, like, you know, if there are six hosts on the show, there'll be, you know, photos of all six hosts or something. And that, you know, that's can be difficult because it's not easily recognizable, especially in something like the iTunes store. You need – you want it to pop, you know, for lack of a better word. And kind of the simplicity and bold choices with type or with color can help do that. And kind of strip away what's unnecessary. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of with most of, if you look at almost all of the 5x5 art is text-based. And there certainly are some icons that I use and some textures, et cetera. But, you know, it's the name of the show and, you know, usually a color that they can kind of associate with the show as well. Not, and, you know, not saying that that's, I like the work that I do for 5x5. I'm sure there's other artwork out there that's probably better than it. I'm positive there is. And, but, you know, it's been working for us. And, you know, I think that the kind of the simpler you can go while still getting your point across is probably the best you can do, because, you know, people do kind of still choose books by their cover. And you could have a fantastic piece of, you know, fantastic podcast. And, you know, if you have really ugly artwork, it's just fighting against you. And, you know, so you can certainly break through that if you get enough ratings and enough people like you. But, you know, why hobble yourself if you don't need to?
Yeah, why make it harder on yourself than it needs to be? And that's where I think people often look at, they'll see a really popular podcast or show or whatever. And for me, like, just to pick on one, because it's just, it's, and I can do that, it's my show, you don't have to, I won't make you be the bad guy. But, you know, some of the Twit shows where it's like this sort of, to me, it's like an older 90s style tech aesthetic, and they sort of keep doing it. And then you see people who copy that aesthetic, and it works for Twit because they're huge already, and taking nothing away from what they're doing. Obviously they're big already as they are. And, but they could put a potato on the cover of some of their artwork and people would still download it because the content is so good, right? That's why people are there. And the artwork certainly helps to attract new listeners, but they're not hurting for new listeners, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well, and they have, I mean, they have a style there too already. So
yeah.
Good or bad, they've, you know, they built a brand with that style, and they've continued. So if a new show comes out and it's in the similar style, it's already going to get that extra push because it's associated with their popularity.
Exactly.
So, and you know, maybe that's why other people kind of ape the style a little bit, to try and, you know, if jump on the train where if you're just browsing through the podcast library, you know, you see something that looks like Twit, maybe you'll click on it. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And it's, yeah, it's just too bad sometimes when people grab onto those things, not even say the 5x5 aesthetic. Like, it's a great, it works, it's awesome. I think it still looks good and current and fresh, and each new show that you design for it, the artwork, like we said, the prompt and stuff looks awesome. Not to be like Mike and pumping up your ego too much or whatever, but, you know, it looks awesome. And so I could see people saying, I need to do that in order to have a successful podcast. And other people do it in different ways, where they say, I need to buy a Heil PR40 microphone like Dan uses or whatever, and that'll make me successful. And ultimately, at the end of the day, these are all sort of extra little pushes that help you. But I think, yeah, getting down to the content and having a good show that's served by all these other pieces, I think, is where people sort of need to focus, I guess, and not miss the point of what you're actually trying to do. Not to take, I guess it sounds like I'm saying, don't hire Jory, don't get good artwork. But I definitely can sympathize with the idea of having great art. Cause I mean, my shows, for example, I've tried to sort of put something together, and it's definitely not my strong suit. It's my third, fourth, maybe fifth language as far as design. And so it's, you know, you sort of hack together some stuff and hope it works for now. And then later on, eventually you redesign and all that kind of stuff. And that's fair, I think. So, but at any rate, I digress into my complaining about my own artwork. where was I going to go with that? The plans, I guess, for the future for you, and have you ever thought about doing a podcast? I mean, someone who's so involved in podcasting by design, on the design side, have you ever thought about being involved, like, aside from, obviously, you're, like you said, you've been on a few shows here and there and interviews and things like that, but is it something you would like to explore?
I mean, yeah, I have thought about it. I kind of I thought specifically about, you know, some sort of design podcast, but on the flip side, I feel like one thing that you need, I don't know, it need to kind of be current and have your pulse on things, or for a podcast is to be current and have your pulse on things. And I'm not, I kind of waffle between that. I go in and out of kind of keeping up with what's going on in the greater design world, et cetera, because I, you know, do still need client work to pay the bills. So I'm, you know, can and have been known to spend way too much time on Twitter. you know, when I'm actually working and doing a lot of work for clients, that's what I'm doing and that's what I'm focusing on. So I don't know. I mean, at some point maybe I'm not sure that I have much of value to add to many conversations, but I don't know. I like being on them. I like chatting. I have a background in theater, so I don't mind that part of it. So maybe I just need a podcast where I'm completely not being myself. doing a character. Maybe that would work.
Yeah, you can play a part and less of yourself and sort of getting into a role that way. And then
people would probably like that better anyway.
Well, I think there could be it's the tough part is I was going to say there certainly could be a market or an audience for the. I don't know what it would like, whether it's the screencast or video podcast world of what you're doing and things like that, and talking through some of the designs and those kinds of things, I think would be really interesting for folks. But
I thought of that. I thought of that too, and haven't. That's the tricky part of that too is I've kind of early on in the year of Icons. And this is just a time thing, but I posted a couple kind of process videos, sped up process videos, and me creating some of the icons. And there's this weird thing. This is weird vulnerability of putting that out into the world where I'm sure I design and my process for things is similar in some ways to other people, but quirky in you know, my own particular ways. And there's this vulnerability of like sharing that with the world. And, you know, the videos, I sped them up really quickly. So it's like, oh, you know, this stuff happens. Maybe you caught that. Maybe you didn't. But some sort of like instructional podcast or something along those lines completely and totally interests me. And maybe I want to do it at some point, but it also scares the crap out of me to like open myself up to that critique. And I probably because it scares the crap out of me, it's probably a good reason to do it so that I can kind of overcome that, become a better designer. But yeah, so maybe someday, maybe a live stream of doing some icons or something. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's one of those things too, I think I find anyways, where it feels like it's fairly obvious what I do, like say even editing podcasts. I'm sure there'd be people who'd be like, I'd be curious to see how you edit a podcast or whatever. And I feel like it's so germane and bland and boring. Why would you ever want to? And I'm too familiar with it almost in some senses to think it would be interesting to other folks in other than the end result, hopefully is interesting enough that they want to listen mm-hmm. to. And similarly with the icons, like some of the stuff, the process or the parts of it that you're doing are almost too familiar to you that it doesn't feel like it could be interesting. Whereas I'm sure there'd be people who would just, you know, eat it up and figure out like how. I'm just looking at I missed the superhero icon set that you'd done as part of the year icons. I must have back in June. I was trying to remember what I was doing, why I didn't see these. But anyways, you know, the Batman icon or the Wolverine, you know, and figuring out how you did the angles and the eyes and stuff like that, and watching you walk through that, and you do a bit of that with Dribble, right? sort of. Using that as a social network to sort of preview a few things or post things that you're working on. But yeah, the screencast regular podcast idea, I think, could be an interesting one. Anyway.
They'd have to be short. Maybe I will. Maybe I will. You're convinced me. I'd have to get some better equipment, obviously, because that helps. Right now, this is a tin can with a USB plugged into it.
Yeah. And a string stretching from Vermont to Saskatoon here. Yeah. It was a pain.
We head up through Montreal and then we head over.
Yeah. maybe for folks, I'll stop, do a quick sponsor break in a second here, and then we'll get some of your podcasts that you listen to. What for folks who are maybe a bit dabbling in design and are wondering and curious, what kind of tools do you use for? Since I can't ask you about the mics you're using and stuff like that for podcasts, what kind of tools do you use for design and favorite apps and things like that?
I am a fairly hardcore Adobe Illustrator user. So that's Illustrator and Photoshop are where I do the majority of my work. All of my icons are designed in Illustrator. You know, I will sketch some things prior. For the year of icons, I haven't been doing much sketching for them because I'm trying to just knock them out and do them as quick as I can. And So, the, you know, some of the icons are a little flawed because of that, because I'm not spending maybe the time I should on them. But that's kind of the only way I will make it through the rest of the year, is if I can kind of sit down and do them really quickly and get them done. Illustrator is where I do all of my, you know, icon work. It's where I start the podcast artwork for some shows, certainly for the 5x5 stuff. I start in Illustrator. And then I finish everything in Photoshop. For web design, I final designs, I'm still using Photoshop for that. You know, there are people who would disagree with that as an appropriate choice, but I still use Photoshop for web design. I've actually moved to Illustrator for wireframing, which is something I hadn't done in the past. Kind of just using quick shapes and gives me the control that I like. But lets me kind of still work in kind of more, it looks good while still being sketchy in wireframe. Where, you know, my problem with a lot of the apps that are built specifically for wireframing, and some of the online ones, they don't look good enough to me. Like the icons they choose, or the style of the blocks when you're just blocking things out. So, Illustrator, I kind of have a little palette of some pre-used shapes that I use over and over again, and then I can use my own icons. So
you do have that going, or that advantage, I guess, that you're.
Yeah. I mean, Illustrator and Photoshop are what are the two apps I could not live without, as far as design work goes. So, and yeah, occasionally I need to use InDesign for page layout and stuff like that, but. Illustrator, then Photoshop, and then maybe InDesign, but that's the boring truth of it.
Okay. Well, I'm going to pause for a sponsor break, and when we come back, I'll just ask you about some podcasts. I'm assuming you listen to at least one one other podcast. I forgot to prep you for that. But
now, what are podcasts?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You live in a cave, and this mysterious Dan guy sends you a text telegram saying draw this, and then you send it back to him and you don't know where it goes.
Yeah, no idea. This is crazy.
So my thanks to my sponsor of this episode is the Sound Lounge by T-Bone, my buddy here in town, who you can hear his work in the intros and outros of this episode, this show actually, and you can hear more of his work over at thesoundlounge.ca. audio post-production services, loops, music, intros, outros, radio jingles, all sorts of stuff like that. If you're looking for any sort of voice, audio, music work, he actually does a lot of work in cheer creation for like those cheerleading competitions and things like that, mixing together music and getting licensing and all that kind of stuff, figuring out. So if that's something that you happen to be needing, or you've heard of somebody, but check him out over at thesoundlounge.ca. And he has a wide, his voice is the one who's actually doing the intro here on the show, but he has a wide variety of folks that he works with. So if you're needing a different voice, a British spy voice, whatever kind of voiceover you might need, visit thesoundlounge.ca and talk to T-Bone over there. So I don't know if that was enough time, but Jory, what podcast do you listen to in your spare, quote unquote, spare time?
What podcast? So when I listen to podcasts, it is usually while I'm cleaning the house, which happens all the time because I have two small children who do not know the meaning of the word clean.
I can identify.
Yeah, it is. Oh my God. I've spent so many hours cleaning our house, the kitchen in particular. Oh, anyway. So the show, let's see, when I listen to recently, I mean, it varies because I go in and out of kind of what my interests are and kind of what I've caught up on. But recently I've been listening to The Prompt on 5x5. I listened to the Incomparable on 5x5. It kind of satisfies the geeky side of me, sometimes with some of the stuff they go through. Been listening to Giant Size a little bit here and there. Listen to Back to Work. One of my favorite new podcasts is Pixel Recess by Paul Armstrong, who's a wiseacre on Twitter. And it is I forget his exact phrase for it, but it's I think it's like the shortest non-design related design podcast.
Yeah.
And it is it's just ridiculous and funny, and he talks to just, you know, designers and developers and people for you know, five to six minutes, just asking them ridiculous questions, and it is hilarious. So I highly suggest you check that out. Yeah. So, and that, and recently, I've been listening to this podcast. So,
oh, nice.
There, I was listening to this podcast this morning.
There you go.
Catching up.
Catching up on all the, you had to be prepared for the intensive, deep probing questions going back into your history and your soul that we were going to be talking about, I guess.
Yeah. I'm glad you don't have a soundboard.
Yeah. Yet. That's
yet. Okay.
No. And what apps do you use to listen to podcasts with?
When I'm at my computer, I will often just listen directly from the website, folks' websites. But on my phone, when I'm cleaning, which I do a lot of, as I always mentioned, I use Instacast.
Nice. That is another. I'll have to put up a board, like a scoreboard. But that's by far and away the runaway winner, I guess, of what app most podcasters seem to be listening to on this.
Yeah,
show.
And I forget when I started using it, but you know, I started using it really shortly after they first came out, and I just haven't even tried anything else. I mean, not saying anything bad against them, but I haven't tried any other apps because I had, you know, it fills a need for me, so I don't. There may be better ones. There may be worse ones, but that's the one I use.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat actually too, and that's maybe a lot of people because it was kind of like one of the first. There's a few, it wasn't the first one, but it was one of the first sort of heavily promoted, talked about iOS apps, I think, that came along, and it was kind of just okay. And once you sort of settle into that, there has to be something that breaks, I guess, before I would bother.
Yeah, and I think they also in their screenshots that they used, they were actually they were using 5x5 art. So I was like, well, yeah. I mean, I'm kind of promoting what I did, so I have to do it.
If it serves your ego, then so I should be. I got to figure out.
This could be a horrible app.
Yeah,
but you're using my icon, so yeah. Of course I'm going to use it.
All right, good to know. If you ever need Jory to drop by. Start putting his icons in your thing, whatever it happens to be. He'll use it. Well, I think we've covered all the stuff, but where can folks find you, follow you, stalk you, all that kind of stuff online if they're so inclined?
I'm Sensible World pretty much everywhere. App.net, Twitter, .com, .net, Symbolicons.com, Sensible World on Dribbble. So I think those are the main places.
Sweet. Yeah, I'll put all those links in the show notes, which you can find, of course, at sskTN.com. And this has been episode 21 of Show Me Your Mic with Jory Raphael. My thanks to you, Jory, for stopping by.
My pleasure.
And you can find this and other shows that we do, of course, at sskTN, Twitter, sskTN, Facebook, sskTN, Google+/ some long string of numbers. And you can, what was I going to say? There's something. Oh, look forward to episodes. I may release it this week because I have a couple. I'm sort of getting backed up with guests again. Mike Hurley will be on live on Thursday recording from jolly old England. And so that'll be either coming out this week or next week. And also Lex Friedman of podlexing.com talking about sponsorship and things like that coming up. And beyond that, I don't know. So watch the website and the Twitter account, etc., for updated info. Thanks for listening. Have a great day.
Thanks for listening to Show Me Your Mic on the SSKTN Podcast Network. Follow along on Twitter at SSKTN or like us on Facebook.com/SSKTN. Be sure to visit SSKTN.com for interviews with other podcasters, as well as learn about other shows we produce, such as Welcome to the Internet, Too Lazy to Blog, and Lost in Lemon.